This is March the 8th, 2015, study on individual responsibility. Again, just reiterating, the purpose of this study was to understand the work of the individual Christian in the kingdom, how one functions oneself as an individual. And we dwelt some time on that, as well as last two or three lessons, as far as the collective, the work of collective, the purpose of collective, how we became a collective is something that we had in common. But we dealt, as far as the individual, on three avenues: of that of the home, how the individual functions in the home, in society, and in government, the responsibilities that are placed upon us as individual Christians in those areas. We dealt some time with that. We have dealt some as far as the work of an individual, but we want to deal this morning, I don't know where we'll get through it, that as we talk about 1 Corinthians 12 as well as Ephesians chapter 4, when Paul deals there in the writings to those congregations and makes some applications. Again, when you look at the work of an individual, these, as they're referred to as joints or members, they're placed within the kingdom that each serve a purpose. It's the same aspect as that of a local, okay? Except you're dealing, some are dealing with the universal, that they're placed there, their function within the universal, as well as you have a function within the local. So, as we mentioned, they're used interchangeably. So when you make an application to one, say the universal, my function within the universal church, it would also apply to that of a local, okay? And if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, when he talks about there, the members, the universal, it also could make application to within the local, okay? Those things, these parts, okay? So kind of keep that in mind. When you look back and looking at this, and again, if you have any thoughts on this, be sure to speak up or if you have any comments there. Again, when you look up how the church came into existence very early, we have today, as Larry's touched upon and others, we have the finished product today that was to be God's eternal purpose, that all His children would have access to this Word, okay? And that we have today. And Paul talks about in the book of Corinthians, when he talks about when that which is perfect is come, certain things would then be done away with. So that was the end, if you will, the goal of which Paul talks about, that those were placed first in the kingdom, okay, or in this universe. Certain things were placed first in that. And it was for a purpose, again, to bring about something, that which we have today, that we are used today. It's called the sword, the helmet of salvation, that we have that today as individuals to be able to do things. And we as individual Christians in the kingdom, our main responsibility is to what? Spread the gospel, okay? We are to expand, to do those things which broaden the borders of the kingdom, okay? That's our responsibility on that. Ephesians chapter 4, again, trying to lay some groundwork, again, the thought in this in my studies, that of how this came about, this bringing about this Bible that we now have today, which is our guide to used to spread the borders of the kingdom. Ephesians chapter 4, as you look at the first six verses, it talks about the unity, the oneness of all that Paul is there talking about. In verse 7, Paul says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to man." Again, when you look at this, he gave gifts, but they're not all in the kingdom had gifts, okay? We'll see that later on. But he chose certain ones for a particular purpose to bring about the Bible as we have it today. And so he gave individual gifts. It says he ascended on high. He also ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And in doing that, these gifts, it talks about he gave some apostles. And when you look at the apostles, they were the cornerstone of what? Of the kingdom, okay? They were to be given the word by which all things were to come to pass. They were promised with that of the Holy Spirit when Christ ascended back on high. When Christ told Peter, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock, upon that confession, I am the Christ, I will build my church." They would be the cornerstone. And that's shown when you look at the book of Revelations, okay? That they were the cornerstone of this. And through them, all things function. Okay? They were to be the one, as you look at Mark chapter 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But how did they do this? Again, other things were set in order to accomplish this goal. It talks about some prophets. Prophets are the guideline of the apostles. Some evangelists. We know that Timothy was with Paul, and that Paul would send Timothy as an evangelist to do certain things. And so this guideline to go into all the world and preach the gospel was accomplished through those who gifts were given to. And some pastors and teachers, again, for the, if you will, for the oversight and the upbuilding of maybe a local or even that of the universal. Okay, so we understand that. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, again, similar wording. There in verse 28, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Then there was miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues." And again, the idea that are all apostles or all prophets. And when you look at this, the application that is being made, the answer is no. All did not have the what? The same gift. And so when you go back and look at verses 12 through 27, the same application in the church, in the kingdom, all do not possess what? The same abilities, okay? That's the application that he's making, as even those apostles and others who were set first in the church did not have the same capabilities, as certain, but they had certain gifts, and these gifts were to be used in a way to unify all things and all people done for one purpose. And that was to bring about the gospel, okay? And so the church at Corinth had a great deal of problems with that. There's some boasted concerning what they had. And it's no different in the kingdom today or in a local church. You have people such as the author fees and so on who do not use the ability to bring about the desired result that God had, and that was the promotion and the growth of the kingdom. And when all things work together in harmony, that's what's produced. And so it was the same with the gifts, okay, that they were to be used. When you look at Romans chapter 10, someone read verses 14 through 18.
"How then will they call on him of whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ."
Okay, let's believe that report. End of the verse 18, "Their sounds have gone to all the earth." Again, this gospel was preached. Well, how was it preached? Well, by those of how God designed those who He set in the kingdom first. It was accomplished through the evangelists, through the prophets, through the pastors, through the teachers, through the apostles. And when it talks about the third sound, the apostle sound, that which they proclaimed, the apostles, that which they proclaimed that Jesus had risen from the dead, that sound, through others, went to the end of the world. Okay? It's not making an application, well, the apostles preached that. The apostles used others that were sitting there with gifts to proclaim those things which reach to the end of the world. They preached the apostles' doctrine. Okay, so we're going to make an application too on that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, do not move away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every preacher under heaven. Again, it was preached before we have this, okay? This was a byproduct of what those who were sent in the church first done. They took that through the gifts that was given to all that God sent in the kingdom, this universal, and it also had application to the local, and they preached this gospel through these gifts. And we'll see later on in the writing to the Corinthian church that they were to serve for a time. Okay? And so we have that. So the prophets and all these function under the directions of the apostles. Romans chapter 12. Again, someone read verses 3 through 8.
For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God hath allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, his service in his service, or he teaches in his teaching,
he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Again, this idea that God has dealt to each a measure of faith, this idea of these gifts that each was bestowed upon individuals. Again, not upon everyone. Okay? But again, it says, having then, verse 6, gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. What? For one purpose. Okay? They will not be used for individual motivation to show, well, I have the gift of prophecy, and I have the gift of this, and I have the gift. They were to be used just like those placed within the kingdom as members, as joints that are built upon one another for one purpose. And that was the growth of the kingdom. Okay? And so, you're placed in the kingdom for a reason. You have an ability for a purpose. And Paul deals with in Corinth, some of those members may not be the most comely or presentable, but God has placed them there for a reason. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 8, love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Again, this idea that these gifts of prophecy, of healing, of manifestation, of miracles, was to serve a purpose. They was to bring something about. And when those were brought about, and we had this that we now have, those things were to be done away with. They had served, if you will, their purpose. They will fail. There's tongues. They will be ceased. Where there's knowledge, it will vanish away in the sense that it was miraculous, okay? We have knowledge today that we gain through this word, but not such as was given to those who were first sent in the kingdom. Okay, so we have that we know in part. Again, you had individuals who were given certain gifts. They were not the one who had prophecy, did not have tongue. Those were parts that was given out in the church or in the kingdom for a purpose. And each one of those was to be used as a collective to come together to produce one thing. And that's this word. He says, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, these things that were first placed in there will be done away with, and that we all have access, if you will, to God's word. And so we understand that. When you look at Ephesians, Again, your thoughts on this as we go through this, if you have comments or maybe not agree with the application that I made, feel free to speak with it. Again, he deals with, in verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Then when you look at verse 12, what were those placed in the kingdom for? He gives a reason. Right, for the perfecting, or for some may use the idea to equip, perfecting those whom God set aside for the work of the ministry, to equip, means to fit in or to prepare. Those who God first set in the kingdom, those apostles thus, were to equip, to prepare the saints for what? The work of what? For the work of the ministry. The idea, the word for here means the purpose or direction a thing is to go. Those were set in the church, in the kingdom, to produce in the saints a direction which they should go. It was, they were to equip. And when that equipping took place, those things, those gifts were done away with. It says, for the edifying of the body. Again, all these mentioned had a function. They were not to be permanent. When those things had accomplished their purpose, they were to be done away with. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what it was to produce. After that, those gifts were done away with. In 14, it begins with the end result, because we now have that which is perfect as His children, we're not no longer tossed to and fro. We have this divine word. There's no reason why we should be tossed to and fro about every wind of doctrine or man. What was its purpose? It was to lead to equip the saints, that they may no longer be tossed to and fro. And when that was done away with, those gifts and all that were there were also done away with. The work of the Spirit was to continue until they would come to the oneness of the faith. And the only way they could come to oneness of the faith is when all had access to the faith. And so that was the work of the gifts. And the gifts given was to supplement each other. Okay, they were to be as a member in the kingdom. They were to supplement one upon, as Peter deals with, that lively stones were placed one upon another to supplement, to reinforce one another. But again, all do not have the same, if you will, abilities on that. When you go back to 1 Corinthians 12, concerning these gifts, verse 6, there are diversity of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of whom? Of all. Okay, so all profited through the gifts that others have, that it might produce what we have as God's children today. In 14, verse 20 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding." In other words, we're not to be as children, not understanding what this finished product we have today. We are to be mature. As Paul talks about in chapter 13, when he says, "I was a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, when I became a man." No way that can take place, that this revealed word we now have. We should be no longer children, but we understand what the will of God is. That was a profit to us all through those who were set first in the kingdom. And we have that product as the children of God today in the kingdom to be able to go and proclaim the praises of God to a lost and dying world. Verse 15, He talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, promoting, if you will, speaking all things in the truth of love. That this product that we have there, we can speak all things in love. In other words, we promote the growth and harmony of the Bible. We now have this revelation that those brought about. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, again, the application to be made, but here referring to that of the universal, the whole body, but it's the same application to be made to the local, whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every joint supplies. And how can every joint supply? Because every joint has access to this finished product. There's no reason. To whatever your ability is, you cannot supply certain things. And to not to do so would be sinful. That we all have the ability in some form to supply to the growth of the kingdom. So every member working effectively in his or her place will make increase of the whole. Again, to the best of your ability, that you make increase in what you can do. And it affects the increase of the whole. If you think your part is not important, and you withhold that which you have the ability to do, then it affects the growth of the kingdom. All parts are to be in harmony in what they do. They're not to be, as Paul told the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10, that there's to be division. Everything is to work just like those placed in the church. Those gifts were to be in harmony with one another. They were used for a benefit. So everything, every joint, every part today in the kingdom are in harmony in what we do. Okay? Again, only by this does the body grow. We are not, as those in the early church lay extensive importance on certain offices or work in the kingdom. Okay? Each has a work. Each is important in this work. The work of Larry as an elder is no different than what Ray has to do in the kingdom, even though the office he may help, or that of Donnie, is no different than what deal is required. That is simply preach. And so, but those in our church put emphasis upon the office. Well, I prophesy, and I do this, and I do this. That's not important. The idea of your ability that you do for the promotion and our will of the growth of the kingdom. But we are to stress the importance of each and every one in the kingdom. Okay? The welfare of each is dependent upon each member doing their share. I'm dependent upon Ray. Ray's dependent upon Judy. Judy's dependent upon Barb. It's the idea of these lively stones that's placed, the support. Each one that we are to support one another. And when you look at the body, the makeup of the body, each part is for what purpose? Well, you look at the heart, what it does, what does it support? This idea. And again, the application will simply mean that some were boasting about, if you will, the different gifts that they had. And Paul, in my study, is making application to the universal body, that those gifts were to be just like used as a body. They were to be used together or jointly, not separate and apart, okay, on that. But again, the welfare of each is dependent upon each member doing their share. And again, one member cannot do all the work. We need to understand my responsibility in the kingdom. The time and opportunity that's afforded me, what I can do. Then if Ann does likewise, and her and I work, is helping one another as far as the growth of the kingdom, is it not? That's the idea of what it is. When we do not do what we have the ability to do, then again, we do injury to the body. And that's the application that he's making there. Again, when you look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11, he's dealing with that of the idea of gifts, okay? So that's kind of the context as far as he gets in into verse 12. Anybody have anything? Any comments? Again, this idea that there was division in these gifts that especially those that Corinth had, he begins verse 12, "For as the body is one, has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized." Again, this is what we have in common, that we can come together as a local. We, as individuals, we're all baptized into one body. We have that commonality with us. Whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, have all been made to drink of one Spirit. Again, this idea of this word "for" indicates the object or aim, that Paul is trying to disprove their idea of what the separation on the gifts, they would be used for one purpose. And that's to bring about, if you will, the product or the gospel. And teaching that spiritual gifts are not to be used as competition. Much those of Corinth, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. This idea of competition. They also likewise use that of gifts. You know, well, I can prophesy and I can do this. They were not to be used as competition, but for a particular purpose, again, that would benefit all. And in these verses 12 through 27, Paul gives the illustration of the human body. As a human body functions together, so also that their gifts should have function, if you will, together. So the body of Christ should function. Also, it gives us an example how the body of Christ should function after the gifts were taken away. So that's what he deals with in these verses on that. Again, Paul introduces the human body to compare what had been concerning gifts. And they were to work again together for one purpose. 1 Corinthians 12, and with time-wise, you go back and read it, we'll not have time. That deals with the universal. Again, applications can be made to the local. Verse 13 talks about by one Spirit, all baptized in one body. Drank, we were made to drink in one Spirit. In other words, by one Spirit, we all were baptized into one body. Verse 17, again, this idea that gifts were not the same. And he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Again, the body depends on the union of the members. Okay? The unification of the body just simply depends. And again, we understand this, okay? And when we look at this, and that's Paul's application, the body depends on the union of the members, not on working separate and apart from one another, doing different functions. Our function is to preach the gospel of Christ. Okay? That's what we do. When you look at verse 18, "But God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as He pleased." There was a purpose while those uncomely parts are there. There is a purpose while those pleasant parts are there. And just for your thought, we're going to have to tell you through it. In your body, what's the uncomely parts and what's the pleasant parts in your human body? You ever think of that? What's the unpleasant and uncomely parts in your body?
I've never seen a pretty foot.
Huh?
I've never seen a pretty foot, I don't think.
But yet, if you're not, it is very necessary, is it not? If that's how you want. That's what he's dealing with, you know, of how we may look at one another. The things that we can do, that God has placed them there for a reason. And that's what we need to grasp and hold on to. That we're all here this morning because God has placed us here for a reason. Again, each part is designed for a particular function, the uncomely as well as the comely. the beautiful as well as the ugly. In that sense, okay, that we may not deem necessary. Verse 22. Paul says, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Don't underestimate your what you mean to the kingdom of God, okay? For whatever. Do not underestimate why God placed you there. The weaker vessels in the human body that are weak but are important to the function of the body, okay? As Dewey talked about. Sometimes the body is more dependent upon the weaker organs than the stronger. Those things which we may deem weaker are more vital, okay? We can do maybe without a finger or a leg or an arm, but those small vital organs, we die without them. That's the application that Paul is making. How vital are those weak, or those who are not comely or unpresentable parts too? And just like the strong makes it stronger, and if when they fail to do that, it causes death within the body. Likewise, the weaker, those unpresentable parts, when they do not do their parts, will cause the death of the kingdom. That God has placed you there, and we need to keep in mind for a reason. And don't ever ask, what can I do? As the statement made, Lord, here am I, send me. You can do something in the kingdom. As I say before, Jimmy may lack an ability in other things, but I know he can tell people what to do to be saved. And that's what he's required to do. Okay? All cannot preach like Donnie, okay? Or lead singing like Ray. But the emphasis is not upon that. It's what you do to cause the growth. Comely just simply means elegant, graceful, well-formed. That's what a comely person. That's what they are. They're beautiful. Remember the statement made of Saul about his what? Good looks, and all have good. That's what comely is. The statement is made as Christ, as Larry touched upon, was what? There's no beauty in that they should desire him, okay? We don't need to look upon the uncomely members like that. But look upon, they have a function just like we, and their importance is to that of the growth of the kingdom. Any questions?